Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropped the presentations on it over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the bear.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Smack dogs.
What's up? It is The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Happy Monday.
Another Monday.
Here we go.
Man, less than 12 hours, right? No, more than that. Less than 24 hours ago, I was sitting there listening to Zach Brown in Noblesville at Ruoff. That was a kick-you-know-what concert. He came out and got it done. He got it done. Andrew and I went. Andrew wanted to go to it, and I actually splurged a little bit this time and sat lower so we could sit, although you don't sit. That's the funny part. But the lawn behind you, I feel like I'm having these little moments now that I'm 52, you know, drink. I'm having these moments of understanding now that I'm not young. It's not that I'm old, but I'm not young anymore. Like, I don't want to battle people in the lawn area because it was packed. I've never seen it that packed. And I was like, you know what? Thank goodness I can go sit if I want, or just at least I have a barrier, right? I've got my space. But Zach Brown did a great job. His band is great. And man, they had a lot of energy last night. And Andrew and I loved it. And it was, you know, he's a mellow dude, right? And he's just one of those where I wasn't sure going into the concert, this isn't Rat, you know, or even Kenny Chesney, who, or Garth Brooks, who's a crazy entertainer and just gets you fired up. It's more of just a mellow, but man, about halfway through, it took off. And Zach had some energy, and he was really getting and that crowd had some energy, and just turned out to be a wonderful night. It was one of those nights you catch yourself smiling. Mm. And you're like, you know, I don't know why we don't do this more often, except I spent a lot of money on those seats. I can't do that often. But it was cool. It was a great time. And Ruoff, that music center, I love it, man. I think it's a great venue. Have you ever been there?
I have not, no.
It's a pretty easy drive. I mean, it's 2 hours. It's a hard two. Because you're essentially going to Noblesville and Fishers. And I've always said those areas over there are beautiful areas. When you get there and you see the office buildings of Liberty Mutual and all the places over there, they are like, it looks like they were built yesterday. It's a beautiful area. And there's a lot of money, I think, in that area. Mm-hmm. However, there are a lot of people. And so the traffic, even on a Sunday, I felt like I was driving in Chicago. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. And I can remember that from my oldest playing travel ball, Lucas. We would go over to Noblesville, Fishers, in that area, and it was always so crowded and so many cars. And if you go to a drive-through, for instance, you're going to wait 30 minutes. And it's just like, this is crazy. I would not want to live in a place like this. But it's a beautiful area. And it's, I mean, again, I think there's some money over there, and they've done a good job of developing it. But I'll take Philo or this area, right? I'll gladly just stay over in this area. All right, I'll
shut up. A lot of AAU basketball over there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you've gone over there in that area. Yeah, that's speaking of basketball.
Speaking of basketball.
You should be in Spain.
I don't know if I missed much in game one.
I can honestly tell you that I shot the ball better than Illinois does. I'm not lying. And you know me. I can rip on myself athletically.
What month is this? Is this still the extension of last season?
I can rip on myself as much as anybody and tear down my own athletic ability, but I shot the ball a hell of a lot better than Illinois came out and shot it the other night. And I don't care that you flew to Spain.
I was gonna say.
And I don't care that you didn't shoot for 2 days.
Uh-huh.
I don't care.
The ball's different.
Yeah. Give
me
a ball right now.
I never tweeted the picture of that ball.
Yeah. Right.
I swear it's not like 50 pounds or anything.
You and I could go out right now to a basketball court near us. You give us 25 shots. Now, granted, that is kind of a cool ball.
It's different.
That is cool.
Yeah.
It looks different. I'm telling you, it can mentally mess with you. With just if something's just a little bit off, it can mess with you. But you and I could go out and hit
more than 3 out of 25.
Now, granted, we don't have.
No, I'm not going to say I make 10 during a game.
No, I'm talking combined. We can make 10.
Okay.
Oh, that means you and I each have to make 5. 5 of 13.
Yeah. Well,
that's
they
a
are
lot.
Game
Never
shots.
Never mind. Yeah, I know. And that's
if
the
we
thing.
Both if we split up 25, we could each make 2, which would beat Illinois. Who went 3 for 25 from 3. They shot 55% from the free throw line, and they turned the ball over 21 times.
I mean, that's disgusting.
So. It's not good on paper, which is really all we have to go by. There are some highlights out there that Illini Basketball Twitter, their Twitter account did release in terms of that game. Now, they did win. If you are tuning in and not knowing the results of Sunday's game over there in Madrid, they did beat the Madrid All-Stars 84-73.
Okay.
They were up 2 at halftime. They were down 2 at the end of the third quarter. They played 4 quarters over there. They were able to rally late to make sure that they were on the winning side, but – offensively, the box score is tough to digest.
And you can complain about that without freaking out.
For
like,
sure.
I'm not freaking out that this team is going to have a performance like that every night of the year, but that certainly was not a very good performance. And that's without knowing the opponent, but come on.
It's just for a team that was just abysmal from 3 last year. One of the worst in Division I.
Yes.
And you're sitting here wondering, and we talked about it, I think as recently as last week, that I was a little surprised that Illinois didn't go out and say, we need a knockdown, dead-eye, 40% shooter from 3 in the portal. We got to go get Andrew Funk. We got to go get Alfonso Plummer again, just to make sure that we have at least somebody, even if he's a little bit of a little bit, sometimes even more than that, of a liability defensively.
Yes.
Hey, we got some grown men. We got some guys like Coleman that are really good defenders, Sincere. We can mix and match to where somebody is not going to be the best defender, but they're going to shoot the lights out, and they need that really, really badly. They didn't go out and approach it that way. And, yes, it's still very early. It's August. And you could throw out all the qualifiers. I've seen it. Brad even mentioned it. Travel. Didn't shoot while we were over there. It's a different lead-up to games.
Sure.
Different basketball. Yada, yada, yada. Even somebody on our board said, didn't you see the sun poking through? And, like, Luke Goody had the sun in his face.
It does look like a glorified high school, you know, gym.
I will say one of the gyms in Italy didn't have a roof.
What?
Like, it's just an outdoor
really
venue. Like,
oh.
It's got –
does it not rain?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they play.
So, I mean, it doesn't.
Or maybe it has a roof, but it's just not all the way enclosed.
Oh, because, like, wouldn't that damage the hardwood or whatever? Or do they play with a synthetic surface? That's weird.
Not sure what they do in Italy. They drink espresso. They have dinner late at night.
Right, right.
That whole type. And then apparently this gym decided it didn't want to be fully enclosed.
That's crazy.
But anyhow, yes, regardless, I mean, you could play a game on the moon in 3 for 25 from 3 is not great. I don't know how gravity plays into that. But 3 for 25 from 3 and 21 turnovers anywhere in the world is pretty poor. It's one game. We have to sit here and draw conclusions from it. Not saying that we're going to make some kind of grand statement about what Illinois is going to be this year because of that.
Right.
But that at least sounds some alarm bells for people, and I understand it's something they have to address. And it speaks to Question mark for shooting on this team? Mm-hmm. Yes, still. Mm-hmm. Question mark point guard play. You usually associate high turnover rate with some maybe issues at point guard. We know that there are already questions there, and that probably doesn't alleviate anything, at least in terms of one game in Spain.
There's a couple things I want to explore after I tell you this. Like, I love how Brad Underwood came out after the game and said, well, I knew it was going to be like this. You know, we hadn't really? Then say it before.
Well,
Like Friday when you're leaving, say, listen, guys, game one, just expect it. We're not going to shoot the ball well. And we're going to struggle, but we're going to somehow find a way to win. I mean, don't just like, well, I expected that poor shooting. Or no, not even expected it. I knew that was going to happen is what he said. Okay, whatever. Number two, this is Madrid's All-Stars. There's 3.2 million people in Madrid. They can't find other guys to beat Illinois. I mean, come on. I'm kidding.
They also lost to Nebraska.
That's right.
And a Nebraska team. So some people said another part of the – and look, I'm not poking too much fun at the some of the rationalizing out there. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, you know, this team took Nebraska to overtime, and Nebraska could be decent, maybe – I'm not saying a tournament team, but not the worst team in the Big Ten. Hey, they're not the worst team in the Big Ten. They didn't have Tominaga, who's their best player.
Well, that's
He's playing for Japan the FIBA World Cup. So okay. Nebraska just surviving the Madrid All-Stars. It's got to put a little bit of context in that, and we should, on the note of not having people, Illinois on the shooting front especially did not have Marcus Domask.
That's big.
We wondered, hamstring injury. I think we most of us assumed, especially the first game, wouldn't play. I don't know that he'll play at all over there in Spain with any kind of hamstring question mark. Like, it's way too early, and these games don't mean anything.
Right, I wouldn't play.
So...
So here's what I want to explore the shooting angle.
Okay.
Okay. So you look at it now, and obviously Luke Goody being hurt last year for the majority of the season brings that percentage down. Would you agree?
Yes.
I mean, you know, that's unfair. In other words, if I'm taking a side here or trying to defend Illinois basketball, and I go into the court of law and I say, well, you know, technically, you removed my best shooter all year. So, you know, you got to give me a little bit of a credit. But the problem now is, as you look back, Luke is your shooter now, right? And when he was recruited and signed, you felt like you had a guy for at least three of his years that would be your best shooter and help in that you know, type of the game. He'd spread the court. He would make the court bigger to where you have to defend him, and it opens other things. So before that, of course, you had guys like Jaden Shute, who you missed out on. I'm not blaming them for that, because I think they just got beat out by Duke, right? I don't think that was anything that Illinois did wrong to lose that recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
The Cole Serta thing, I don't know. I mean, was he so dead set on playing for Notre Dame that one kind of confuses me a little bit, but I don't know Cole. I don't know the family. I don't know what was in his head. Maybe from the get-go, he's like, I'm not playing for Illinois. Maybe he sees what other guards are at Illinois now and says, well, I know they need a shooter, but I don't know how much time I'm going to get on the court. So there's a lot of things I don't know, and I try not to get too. But those are two guys that are Illinois guys, and especially, or at least in high school, could shoot the heck out of the ball, as you know.
Yep.
You saw them both live. I didn't see Shute, but I saw Serta. And then before that, what, you had Frazier for 5 years as a good shooter. I would consider him a good shooter. And then Plummer you brought in, which was is he the best portal guy you've ever gotten?
Probably.
I mean, if you think about it, he was really good. Or am I just forgetting somebody?
I mean, Shannon's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, hello. Yeah.
He's an NBA guy.
See, you're right. Exactly. See, I knew it immediately. I was missing somebody. But, like, Shannon has 5 turnovers in that game.
Yes, he did.
But we can get to that in a minute. So, the shooting, I mean, can you risk trying to get 2 shooters on your team at all times? Especially if, like, I think Luke Goody's a pretty good, he's an adequate defender, right? I don't know. I've seen Cole Serta. I can't imagine him being that great of a defender in college. But I could be wrong. And if there's Cole Serta defenders out there, you know, don't take it personal, and you can easily argue against me.
I mean, that is definitely a question mark.
Yeah, right.
At the next level.
So I worry there about defensively, but then you look at it and it's like, okay, so would you rather have one shooter in Luke Goody and one guy like Sincere Harris that can clamp down? Or would you rather have two Sincere Harrises that can clamp down and you don't have any shooters? Or would you rather have two shooters and no Sincere Harris? Does that make sense? I don't know how to quite do it, but you said it. You go out in the portal and you identify, A, somebody that's one of the better shooters in the portal, but someone that can also play a little defense. Surely that's out there. Did they maybe push too hard on the point guard now that we feel like Draven is going to be pretty solid? Did we push too hard on the point guard and not go hard enough after a shooter?
I think that in Ray J. Dennis's case, he was going to give you both.
Ah, that's right.
I mean, he was going to be able to shoot a high clip from three and then also be the distributor.
Yeah.
So you were going to be able to check both of those boxes. Unfortunately, you didn't get him, obviously. And then I think that like a Justin Harmon was probably an interesting choice where you could have said, all right, Harmon played, he's very experienced.
Yeah.
He's got that. I think he's a good defender. He's a veteran. Was the leading scorer on Utah Valley, a team that went deep in the NIT. He's not the best of shooters. So maybe you could have said versus him versus someone that doesn't defend quite as well, that maybe isn't as accomplished maybe in terms of just point production overall,
yeah,
but
fair.
Someone that is, oh, this guy just, all he does is shoot threes and he makes a lot of them.
That's a good point. And the other thing that's never fair about this is I know you know a heck of a lot more than I do, but I don't know that on a random Tuesday, Brad Underwood wasn't on the phone with four guys that are good shooters in the portal. You know what I'm saying? with me just sitting there saying, well, he's not recruiting a shooter, and he could be sitting there going, dude, I've been on the phone all week with four shooters. We just didn't happen to get them, right? So that to me is I always feel like I'm being unfair to them in the sense that I'm not there on a daily basis finding out what exactly they're doing. But I don't know. I love that we can get kind of nitty gritty with Illinois basketball any time of the year.
It's one game that we didn't even see. And but yes.
I love it, though. We love Illinois basketball.
And I knew, and even people around the program kind of were joking with me before they left, is like, this is going to be an interesting just kind of case study of how the fan base handles.
Oh.
Here's a box score. Here's a couple of highlights. Judge and make –
and I'm the perfect
let your
example.
Emotions run wild and whatever. Both good and bad, because there are good things that
rebound
in terms of on paper from this game. Yeah, rebound. I mean, Dane Danger had 15 rebounds himself. He had 16 points, 15 rebounds for Dane. Sincere Harris, now he did go 1-for-5 from three.
Yeah.
And tie a bow on that one. You mentioned Luke Goody. Luke Goody went 2-for-6 from three. You take him out of the equation, like Luke Goody and then everybody else.
Yeah.
The rest of the team was 1-for-19.
Wow. You got to be better.
Wow. That's pretty tough. But Sincere Harris, he was 1-for-5. Didn't help you there, but did have 14 points, 5 steals.
Man.
In 23 minutes.
That takes a lot of work.
Yeah. A guy that Energizer Bunny-like defensively.
Goodness.
And Justin Harmon did have 3 steals of his own. So two guys that in the backcourt can really make people uncomfortable, get out in transition. And we did have a text on the U of I line link text line. Wade, starting off the show, Sincere Harris, Defensive Player of the Year, DGL, Freshman of the Year. Gibbs Lawhorn only played 11 minutes. Looks like he battled a little bit of foul trouble. 5 points, 2-for-6 from the field, 0-for-2 from three. I imagine they want to get him more run in the Valencia game coming up here on Wednesday. But
there's probably some really impactful freshmen coming in, too. And if you're
you
looking.
You have a highly rated one that is going to Indiana. And then there's Ohio State, a pretty good class in their own right. So they're going to bring in a couple of guys in theirs that's going to be in the mix too.
And this Illinois team is so deep.
It's very deep.
They don't have – is this fair to say? There's not one guy on – who's the dude that started? Red.
A.J. Red. He's a walk-on.
Okay. There you go. They're just having fun with us now.
Right. He only ended up playing 6 minutes, which was the team low. So – I don't know if that was like rewarding a guy that's a returner. I don't know if that was kind of, hey, let's show them that he's in the starting lineup. So it is an exhibition game. Don't freak out. But
this trip is like me saying, Derek, I had the worst drive I've ever had from Villa Grove to Philo. It was the worst drive I've ever had. Nobody knows any context about it. Maybe it hailed the whole time. Maybe I had a flat tire the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there was a farmer out with a combine that I couldn't get around. You know, there's no context to it, but yet everybody's going to be like, well, Tay's obviously a bad driver.
I thought you were going to say drive like a tee off.
Oh, no.
So this is like you had the worst drive you ever had, and there's a picture of your golf bag, and you've got a driver, you've got a three wood, and you've got like a hockey stick. Like, and you see the result.
But I still parred the hole.
He parred the hole.
But had the worst drive of my life.
He had the worst drive ever. Did he use the hockey stick first? Like, I don't know. Might have.
Oh, hey, no thanks to me, by the way. Friday shot 17 under at Lake of the Woods.
Jeez.
Tied for the... Oh, in fact, Stevie's son was on the team that they ended up giving them the title.
17 under?
I won't go into politics about what happened. And I'm not upset, I promise. Yeah, we were 17 under. There were three par fours at Lake of the Woods that we were putting on our second shot.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, those were not delivered by Lante. I can tell you that. Essentially, what I did is I loaded my team with 23, essentially like mid-20 guys, mid to lower 20 guys, that can all hit bombs off the and I didn't do much all day.
Mm.
The only hole, there was one par five where I finally, you know, my knee's been giving me fits. You know this. I finally just said, hey, you know what? You guys handle the driving. I'll get everything from there in and putting. And well, not, I'm not going to get, they were the ones who were doing that too, but at least I was out of the cart hitting. And there was one hole where all three of them went in the trees. And I'm like, I did not bring you out here for this. Derek, I get up and hit probably the best drive I've hit in 5 years, right down the middle with a little power. And I get back in the cart and I'm like, now, if you ever do that again, we are leaving this course. So I feel like I played my part, you know, but yeah, 17 under.
Nice.
We eagled two or three holes.
That's impressive.
It's crazy. Anyway, back to Illinois. My fault. I that was my bad.
Bill from Troy on the U of I Atlanta League text line. How can they be deep but not have anybody that can shoot?
Yeah, well, they have Goody, and they have Damask. I think Damask and Goody are going to be – those are two legitimate shooters. I know this because I've seen them both play college basketball. They both can shoot. But, I mean, would you not agree, Bill, that they're deep? I mean, they could play 11 guys.
Yeah. They have a deep front court for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Danja, Hawkins – Guerrier. Damask will fit into that.
Right.
Probably a three slash four. Goody could even play the four.
I agree.
Imani Hansberry, top 50 freshman.
Yep.
We'll see how much he even plays this year because you do have a lot of options up front. And then I think that off guard and wing, you've got depth too. We'll see. There'll be guys that are going to play point guard. How many capable, effective point guards you have is still the biggest storyline of this season. So, to go back to shooting, because that was Bill's point, let me ask you this before we do catch a break, and we can talk more about this. We will hear from Brett Bielema as we go along.
Yeah.
He met with the media again. A lot of training camp for football rolls on, and I'm excited to talk more football
and
every week.
I broke down the other teams in the West and who they play from the East, and I kind of ranked it. So I'll let you know where Illinois kind of fares when it comes to that when we talk football. Now, you know whenever I do something like that, it is a horrendous segment.
Nah.
So I will try to bring exactly what I mean to the table.
Okay. And I just had my first fantasy football draft.
You did?
Saturday, yeah.
Oh, my
Brad
goodness.
Evans, it was his league. So
yeah, you guys start that early.
It was early.
Wow.
And
how was Brad? Just fired up?
He was awesome.
He's fully healed from his bike accident.
He is.
That he rode – I know he – put it out on Twitter that he had a helmet that basically saved his life.
Yep.
And I'm glad for him because that must have been a really terrible thing to go through. So I'm glad that Brad is well and glad to see that he's back to being probably 100% energy from the moment you get to the draft.
Absolutely. Love to get him on the show before football season starts.
Yes.
I'm sure he'd love to talk Illinois football. I know he's bullish on them. He was talking about that a lot. And then, I mean, he's schooled. I always go into this league knowing that I'm probably making a donation to his pocket because he is a fantasy expert, but then so are some of the – he's got some industry friends that are in this league too.
I was going to say.
I'm like, man, I'm just really at odds with some guys that are paid to do fantasy football for a living. But it's a fun time, and it was a good time. I'll talk more about it as we go along.
Okay.
There were some tough choices you have to make because some guys don't even have a team, like
that's
Dalvin Cook –
yeah.
Green Hunt, who's visiting the Saints today.
That's
weird.
Got
the Alvin Kamara suspension.
Jefferson, number one.
Well, it's an auction draft.
Oh, that's right. So this is a little different than what most of us probably do.
Yeah.
So it's hard to kind of compare them. Yeah. No, I get it.
Okay. Last thought on the shooting, at least for this first segment. I'm not saying that it won't come up later when you shoot 3 for 25 from 3. Which of these is most concerning to you?
Okay.
Terrence Shannon 0 for 6. Coleman Hawkins 0 for 4. Sincere Harris 1 for 5.
It's easily Terrence Shannon. It's easily him. I expect Terrence Shannon this year to play at an All-American level. Not an All-Big Ten. An All-American level. And I don't expect a guy in his fifth year in college to have any issues with a two-day travel to Spain to miss shots. In other words, if there's something, someone that could overcome that, it would be Terrence Shannon. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm also not freaked out by this one game and telling you that, whoop, nope, never mind, he won't even be third team All-Big Ten. Like, I'm not going to do that. But it's definitely Terrence Shannon because now the Coleman thing, I just continue to, I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of an interesting, it's like a lab experiment that we don't understand quite how it's going to work out. And I hope it works out for him. I hope so much that it works out for him. He's a great kid. I love his loyalty to Illinois. I want to see that kid in the NBA and making money. But Terrence Shannon, I feel like, should be a guy that he's got to lead you every night. I mean, he doesn't. No, he does. He needs to be your best player on the court every night. There's no reason why he can't be. So I think the 0 for 6 from him is, if you ask me in that context, that would be the thing that would be most alarming.
I think Sincere taking 5 threes is something that you don't want to probably see again.
I didn't even think about that.
The fact that he only made one is not a surprise.
No, but, that's fair.
I would say Coleman. Now, again, I'm with you on this being a one-game sample size. I'm not saying that Coleman's going to be a sub 30% three-point shooter because of this. This shows us, okay, Coleman will come back and not be
he's horrible
improved at all from beyond the arc. But I think Terrence, number one, we've seen him be streaky
from beyond the arc. See, I don't want that.
I know you don't want him to be. And yes, for him to be a first-team All-Big Ten again, a first-team All-American pushing that, he needs to be more consistent. And that's been something that's been a big storyline going into the offseason. But I think that he can get away with some games where he doesn't shoot it because he can go downhill, because he can do some other things. Coleman, they want to have him do less in terms of a playmaker.
I see where you're going here. And the idea that Shannon can get his buckets other ways, even if he's not shooting well, whereas Coleman's got to.
Coleman's kind of got to make those shots.
That's a good point.
And also, for a stretch big man to really stretch the floor, you got to be able to shoot the three.
Yep.
So no, that's a great point. They haven't really seen him do that, definitely not consistently enough. And really, overall, his jump shot just has been something that's left more to be desired.
So, you probably swayed me there. By the way you explain that, that does make a lot of sense, because Shannon's still the guy that can get to the line 12 times, you know, get a couple of fast break dunks or opportunities to where he's still going to score 16 and shoot 2 for 12, let's say. Whereas Coleman, he's going to have to shoot the ball well to get those numbers that he needs and that Illinois needs. I agree. By the way, one side note, Ty Rogers, point guard, but yet 9 rebounds. I'm telling you, that is such his strength. That's why I hope, and I know we overdo the point guard thing, because sometimes once the ball is set in motion, everybody's running everywhere, and hell, you might be under the bucket for 5 seconds of the 30 and then back out to the wing. And so we kind of overdo it, and it's probably my biggest fault, because, you know, in the old days, you definitely had a point guard, right? You come down, you pass the ball to the wing, or the big man, but you stand right out here and you stop any kind of fast break going the other direction. That was kind of our point guard. And then you had two wings that basically shot, and the weak side was allowed to go down and rebound. Well, actually was supposed to go down and rebound. Then you had kind of two big men, kind of a 4 and a 5, that we didn't call them that. So it's just kind of funny how, like, that's how it was. So it's hard for me to, like, I almost feel like I need Steve Nash. And it's like, okay, Lon, there's not a point guard that's going to get 19 assists, right? So get that out of your head. But I just don't want to take I love the fact that Ty still went and got 9 rebounds, because I just think he can help you so much in that regard.
That's a great point.
Huge.
You look at that he had four offensive rebounds. No, and you wonder, as a point guard, how close is he to the rim? What's his ability to go and get those second chance right. opportunities as the quote unquote point guard? But I do think there are lineups, and these are things we're not going to be able to see. Like, how much did Ty Rogers play with Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn?
Good call.
What's the split between? Because I think those are your top two point guard options right now. But there are going to be situations where I think that Ty will play, where maybe Gibbs-Lawhorn's on the ball, even with Terrence Shannon Jr. Like,
yeah.
Terrence
yeah.
had four assists, five turnovers. That tells me the ball was in his hands mm-hmm. quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Too many turnovers there when you look at five. But, Ty's ability to rebound is one of his biggest strengths.
No doubt.
You hope that he can still do that while also facilitating and getting you into offense.
I'm still laughing about your analogy of just my golf bag with a driver and a hockey stick. What was the other one?
A three-wood.
A three-wood.
Driver, three-wood, hockey
with
stick.
With the caption, Lon shot par, but had the worst on this hole, but had the worst drive of his life. And then everybody just runs with it.
That's right.
God, dude can't drive. I'm telling you all along, he's a good putter. Get him off the tee box. that's a perfect analogy.
There you go. There you have it.
Well done.
If you want to win, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. Any other thoughts? We can talk more about Illinois basketball's first of their three games over there in Spain. They'll play again on Wednesday against Valencia. We'll also hear from Brett Bielema coming up.
Sweet.
Who spoke to the media today about training camp as that rolls on, and we're getting closer and closer
mm-hmm.
to college football. And then after that, of course, the NFL gets rolling too. Hard Knocks tomorrow.
Oh, is it really? It
debuts.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The Jets, okay. If you're interested.
That's an HBO thing, right?
It is, yes. Yep.
I don't get it. And I know I can stream it. Let's not go into that.
Yeah. Okay. More preseason football will get going this week as well. So I'm just excited because, you know what, I don't really want to talk about the Cardinals getting blanked by Austin Gomber and the Colorado Rockies. Mm.
We do need to talk some Cubs.
We do.
They are on fire
right
now.
Impressive series win against the Braves.
I mean, they took two or three against the Braves, swept the Reds.
Three or four, right?
I'm sorry, three or four.
Yep.
And in the process, scored like 500 runs. So their run differential now is like plus 70. I mean, listen, they are playing great baseball right now. Swanson's hitting. They're playing some really good baseball.
Swanson's power's come around the last couple of weeks.
It
Bellinger's.
Has. Yep.
Man, he's been just
it's ridiculous.
Everything they could have hoped for.
I saw Kyle tweet out, open the wallet for Bellinger. Yeah, I mean, he is a hit. Well, we need to catch a break. We can talk this next hour for sure.
Yep. Let's do it.
The Cubbies deserve that.
No doubt, as much as that pains us to say, but it's the truth. Catch a break. We will return talking some Illini football. Let's get to Brett Bielema. Let's let you hear that from today. This is The Drive.
Join the Champaign Parks Foundation for a fun evening of food, socializing, and entertainment at the iHotel and Conference Center with Champaign Park District Youth Scholarship Fund to benefit from the new Ties and Tennies Gala. It's coming up on Thursday, September 14th, and you'll enjoy dueling pianos, a plated dinner, complimentary wine and beer, live and silent auction, and featured speaker Team USA Paralympian sitting volleyball player Nicole Millage. Learn more details. Visit champagneparks.org.
PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at pdrauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Curtis Orchard is hiring.
It means a lot to us that our customers are like family and our employees are like family. We all like working together, even though it gets really frantic in the fall. It's just wonderful to get to know your customers, your community, and be able to serve them.
So we want friendly people who have the same values that we have, you know, which is caring for people and giving them a great experience while they're out at the farm. You can visit CurtisOrchard.com and apply online today.
Hey, it's Stevie J. I have a Stever for you today. The Stever is the program where some crazy radio guy gives out money so that you can spend it and keep the stuff. Say what? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, today from Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. You need an appliance, microwave, refrigerator, freezer, washer, dryer, oven, stove. Hey, Dick Van Dyke, you get the whole store. You get everything they've got, including the 10-year, incredible 10-year warranty. So here's their deal. If you think you can spend $1,000, I'll give you $500. So all you have to do is go to GhostStever.com, and click me. Then you'll be entered, and you have a chance to get $500 off a minimum spend of $1,000 from Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Easy, easy. GhostStever.com. If you're not a member, you can join and click as well and enter today. You get an email tonight if you win. GhostStever.com, GhostStever.com for Dick Van Dyke Appliance World.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing, too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5, Derek Piper, Lante.
Is that a new song?
I don't think it's new. It's just sparingly used.
I was going to say, do we ever, what number is that?
It's 47.
Okay.
Jay
so
Layman.
I'm glad
you asked.
Oh.
Because 3 weeks from today is game week.
Oh, my Lord.
And Mr. Jay Layman himself will be in the building, will he not?
Yes. Every Monday. I want to try to get him before games begin. Does that make sense? I want a preview show with Jay Layman. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we'll have him every Monday from 3 to 4. And then a player, and I'm not sure if I'm supposed to divulge.
Player to be named later.
Right. And I think this is going to happen. We'll have the player then from like 4:05 to, let's say, 4:20. So we're going to have a ton of football content every Monday for sure. And then, of course, you and I will give our thoughts the rest of the week. But, you know, we just let Jay go when it comes to that. So it's awesome having Brett back. I love listening to Brett. And he's so brutally honest with the media, and I like that. I don't think he – well, and Brad too. I mean, we keep talking about this stuff. But there's been times in my life where I've watched press conferences of coaches for teams that I like, and I'm just like, But I really enjoy listening to Brett, and I feel like, you know, I think he wanted to do this business. So I feel like, you know, he's got an idea, or at least in marketing, and I feel like he's got an idea on how to sell his program, and I think he does a great job with it.
Absolutely. And I know they started things off with a night practice.
Yes.
Late last week, and have a handful of those because they got a number of night games on the front end of the schedule. But today was in the afternoon or morning.
It was, and the rain took them. They were going to practice on the grass, but they had to go turf.
Okay.
Today is what he had said. So got a little bit of good news on Matt Bailey. I'll let Brett tell you that.
That's good.
And then he kind of started off with a welcome to the conference deal today.
Let's hear from Brett Bielema. Spoke to the media today. Here is your Illini head coach.
Well, obviously a little conference expansion news. Well, I'd like to welcome Oregon and Washington to the conference. Excited. I think anything that continues to build our brand across the country is a positive thing. You know, obviously the addition in 2024 is going to change the schedule a little bit. I have no idea what that means or anything about it. I'm just concentrating on our guys. I know a lot of guys are out of practice. So in the last 4 or 5 days since we talked, Barlev had a little bit of a mild ankle sprain. He actually have a chance to practice with us tomorrow. Very, very, very mild. And also somebody else. Jordan Anderson, yeah, same thing. Just got a little flare-up with his back. He actually, good chance he's going to practice tomorrow. We'll have a scrimmage on Friday. I think we'll have both those guys back for then. Also got good news on Matt Bailey. He passed a screening, so he should be able to start doing some more movement with us this week, and hopefully in a two-week window or somewhere close to when we start school will be with us. So a lot of positives. Have just finished practice number four. Really excited the way our guys practiced last week under the lights. We were going to go out on the grass field today, but Mother Nature threw some rain at us, so it was good to get some wet turf work out there today. A really, really good day. Moved out into the field. We did red area last week, went into the field this week, today, and excited about that. And really for the four practices that we've had down, I know everybody hates four practices. What you do with them is what you do with them, and our guys have really attacked these 4 days. I thought Saturday night under the lights, we did a lot of red area, a lot of competition, and our guys are definitely enjoying the game. This is a really fun group to be around as a head coach, literally to come to practice every day, do what we do. It's truly an enjoyable time to be in the building. So really excited about where we're at, where we can go. With that, I'll open up questions.
Coach, I know it's a year from now, but the expansion part of this piece, you're such a detail guy. Are you worried about getting there and figuring out who's who and what's what and all that stuff? Or is
it, you know, I get it, but I mean, one of the things I've always said as a coach, right, those are conversations beyond me, right? I just, you know, we'll get the schedule figured out, play. Mark and I had some conversations, my chief of staff, just, you know, we're traveling to unknown cities, right, whatever it is, so there's some logistics. But most of those places house other teams, right? And so that's probably a less issue now than it's ever been. I got tremendous faith in Josh and our administration. Obviously, Chancellor Jones was a big part of the decision, so they're excited. I'm excited, and when it gets to 2024, I'll be excited as well, but I'm really focusing on practice five.
Where do you think we're all heading with this,
Brad? I don't know. I really don't. Like, you know, I just think about, I remember being a young buck, getting in this profession, and they added Penn State in the league, right? And they were at the top of the top at that point, right? And how much that did for our league now in retrospect, you know? And then I think about when they added in Rutgers and Maryland and, you know, just the addition of them and what it's been able to do on the East Coast. I've noticed it in recruiting. So when they announced USC, UCLA, it was equally, thought this would move in the other direction. It can do. I literally start thinking, Pat and I, Hamilton and I have had conversations about how that affects us in recruiting. We have such a large living alumni base out in LA that has to factor into it. You know, now with the Northwest corner, ironically, Pat Pearson, one of our staffers, one of my best friends, you know, got married out in Oregon this past weekend. I loved being out there, seeing it, and now we're going to be right up the road in Eugene. So a lot of really cool things about it. I think in today's recruiting, you sell that to kids big time. You know, I have in my office every conference stadium we play in, and now to have coast to coast, got to get a new graphic, but it's a good thing to have.
The conference has almost doubled since you played there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really added 8 teams when you were 10-team league. Penn State wasn't quite in.
Well, I think it's just a part of the world we're in, right? I mean, because of those little things you guys are recording me with and because of technology, like, it's just kids, it doesn't phase them, I don't think, much anymore, right? And I know our kids are excited. We briefly talked about it last night on Sunday. I like to take a look at college football, and I think they're excited about it. You know, I think that anything that brings a new opportunity to be somewhere they've never been, I think it gets those kids excited.
When you finally get into shells like you have, Brad, is the depth that you build on both lines just starting to pop?
Really depth overall. I appreciate the question. But sure, O-line, D-line, I mean, we just look a little. I think you guys out there at practice, we're long. We're athletic. I don't know what we're going to play like, but we sure look good. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have benefited from Tank's room. And there was a point this summer when we got done with practice, and I'm just looking at our guys, and I literally said, hey, first team, 11 personnel on offense, get out in front, which is obviously our O-line, a tight end, 3 wideouts, our quarterback, and a running back. And I said, just look at these guys, right? And then I said, first team base defense. So our defense got out there. Most of them had just got done running. They had their shirts off. And, I mean, we look good. We perform at a high level. They play with great intensity. I think with our length, I don't think we've gotten slower. Kids like football. They, you know, one of the things that jumped out to me, Jimmy was here for a couple of days, and I asked him on the first couple of days, just kind of observe, you're seeing us for the first time. You've never really seen us work out. And he just commented about, you know, some of the things that I just mentioned, you know, the length where we are, the way we practice, the buy-in of our kids. I think when I get coaches that are really good coaches from outside coming in for the first time, I really want to hear what they see. And that's really, there's another visitor out here today who's been around a lot of football that said the same thing, the energy, the excitement, the intensity, the way our guys play.
On the right side of the line there, it seems like there's a robust competition.
Yeah, great question.
Can you share with us who the candidates are?
You know, I think, you know, as you look at it, you know, over there, Isaiah and Julian have played so well together. Josh, I think, has kind of established who he is at center. At right guard, right tackle, Jordan Slaughter, obviously came in, was probably the best sixth man in football for us, you know, and for a lot of teams would love to have a guy like that. He's obviously in the mix. Right tackle, we put in Zai out there, who played right guard, but Zai, very athletic, played tackle when he was at JUCO. We knew he could do it. Just kind of in our lineup, we put him in a guard last year. A guy that's probably grown as much in this program the last 2 years, Josh Geske, is just an incredibly focused, determined, works his tail off. Just really, really love the growth that he's had. Brandon Henderson, an incoming freshman, is probably offensive line-wise one of those guys that when I was first around him, started to work out. I loved him in recruiting, obviously, but when we got him here on campus, literally one day last spring, he played four of the five offensive positions in one practice. So extremely versatile, extreme high football IQ. I would say that core of guys, and there's some other guys. It could be Hunter Whiteneck is in the mix over there. So we're trying to find our best combination.
How do you see Matt Bailey attack these 6 months? And what have you guys done to make sure he keeps trending in that growth direction?
Yeah, he's done everything. Matt's a very conscientious. Everything Matt does is very purposeful. His mom's raised him in an environment that, like, I think everything he does every day when he wakes up has a purpose and a plan. So I knew we had to be diligent to give him the plan, right? Because sometimes he got a little ahead of schedule on his own terms. And, you know, he had a little bit of setback here midsummer, but he handled it, persevered for it. I try to grab him at least once or twice a day, have personal interaction. He's intent over on the sidelines. I'm constantly yelling at him to back up because he's trying to creep further out on the field. He's been in really good with our young safeties. The professional side of him, it's always concerned when players miss time, but with him it probably lessens my concern a little bit.
What's Houston Griffin had to your recruiting
staff? Yeah, Houston's been awesome, right? So, honestly, you know, so when I – first got here, Houston had entered the portal, and I obviously knew his dad, and he entered the portal from Notre Dame. So I reached out to him, but I also reached out to people in that Notre Dame staff, who's now the staff that's at LSU. And when I talked to people, the one thing they said, hey, like, you judge what you want on football, but, like, as a person, like, he's everything that you want in, this, in your program, da-da-da-da. And I obviously knew his parents. So even though we couldn't get him, right, he went back to Notre Dame, kind of just filed away in my head, like, when he's done playing, I'd like to get him in the building. So him and his dad came in the spring. I just kind of, hey, what's your thoughts? I didn't want to, you know, I didn't know if he's going to try the NFL. He expressed he wanted to get into coaching. So I knew I had a personnel spot open and brought him into the fold. And he's just been very impressive. Again, a guy that walks with a lot of confidence. You just see what the way that he carries himself. He's been really, Pat's been very excited about what he's brought into that room. But that it's an entry-level deal that he's just kind of being him and showing on the personnel side, but also in our building, he's been around a really good coach. He's been around Brian Kelly. You know, he's been around coaches in his career there at LSU that we're excited to get him into the building.
What schematically, specifically, has Robbie brought to you guys, special teams? Like, what have you seen in Black
Robbie? Well, you know, Robbie, when I hired him, one of the things that's really cool about his career is that everywhere he's been, he's kind of been self-promoted from within. Like, I love that on a coaching resume. People just keep promoting him. And then at Tulane last year, their head coach, he's known as kind of a special teams guru. And I believe last year when Dish ran special teams at Tulane, that was the first time coach had ever let somebody else run special teams. So I told him coming in, hey, we have some schemes that we've run, some things I feel strong about, but let's work together on building an Illinois philosophy. And he's really kind of taken over everything, his diligence, his teaching. We started off this morning with a KOR meeting that he had the whole place in stitches. And 1 minute later, they were locked in on how to take on or how to perform a double team, right? He's got the unique ability to transcend into all position groups. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. He's got a great relationship with him. He's very intentional. He's a good dad. He brings a lot. Schematically, there's going to be some carryover from what he's done, but also carryover from what we've done.
Are you any closer or further away on getting Desmond clear at all? Or
Desmond Schuster? Yeah, no, it's a medical thing.
No.
There was a chance it could be quicker, but I think now it's trending to later. We're literally still waiting on some results, but okay. We'll just keep them up to date as best we can.
Okay. Demetrius Hill, one of those guys, kind of just jumps out at you. Mm-hmm. Length and quick twitch. What do you see?
Yeah, Demetrius and really Clayton Bush, both guys that we brought in out of the portal world at the safety position. And I honestly, Prince Ford, a corner, has looked good. So our three transfers at DBs, and you go back to the spring, Nicario Harper, those four guys are in our mix. They're in the two deep and extremely athletic. Demetrius is very aggressive. He's high football IQ, really locked in. He's kind of a guy that's jumped out here through the first 4 days. I would say Clayton Bush, athletically, he's very, very gifted as well, and he takes to the game very quickly, like where he's at. I think our transfer world in general, You look at Tanner Arkin on offense, like he's definitely made a big jump from where he was. Alex Capetta-Jones, like, just came in. He's literally been here less than a month and made four or five huge catches here in the last two or three days. So that portal world's continued to treat us pretty good. We don't go into it a lot. When we go in, it's very intentional, and it's been good.
You've been around some good tight ends. What do you think
a
Tip can do?
Yeah, Tip, you know, I just think from a 220-pound kid when we got here to a 265-pound man that he is, like, I met with NFL scouts today, like, you just don't see guys like that all that much. The NFL's craving for those big, physical, inline tight ends. I think he'd be the first to tell you he's not there yet, but he works every day. He's very, I think, focused. You know, he has 2 years, but this may be the last, and so we're trying to treat it that way. But his inline blocking, his movement, obviously I think he's going to continue to step forward in the catch department, but really excited what I've seen through 4 days.
Just one more about Matt Bailey. It seems like he would have the versatility for either of those two safety spots back there. Like, how much does that help you as you guys navigate trying to find the spot?
You know, in our system, our defense is a little bit multiple, but it's a very easy system. One of the things that I established when we got here is, like, you know, we had, obviously back then Ryan was coming in from Missouri, had guys from my past. We had guys coming in from outside voices. Aaron had been a couple places. Kevin Kane had coordinated defenses. So we came together and made the Illinois defensive philosophy. And one of our things that we said defensively is we knew we were going to have a lot of young players come in and quickly. Now, when young doesn't necessarily mean freshman. What I mean that is there's new players through the room, through the transfer portal, through high school, through JUCO. We wanted them to be able to play quickly, so they had to keep it simplistic. So there is a little bit of, you know, the safeties are interchangeable, but, you know, if you look at last year, you know, what Sid did versus what Smith did, like, those are two different positions. At times they interchange, but I see Matt more in that Sid role, right? But he does have the ability to do a lot of different things because of his, and he's got high football IQ.
It's hard not to notice Malik Elzey out there. So we know what he can do as an athlete. What's the learning curve like for him?
Yeah, Malik has been very impressive. Even really going back to the summer when he got here, everybody just talks about his presence, his physical awareness. You know, he's a guy that's very driven. I texted him, you know, I think it was like 9:30 last night, and I've been making an edit. I said, hey, I want to get together with you this week just to kind of talk about where you're at. He just consumes everything. Very impressive athlete. I was the very first day of practice, I was on the far end, and I saw two catching kicks. And I thought we had switched Caden Fagan from three to two. Like, I'm like, is that Caden? And I got up close, and it was Malik. Like, you just forget how big he is. Like, I swear, every time I see him, he looks like he grows an inch. But really good high football IQ. His obstacles are going to be self-created, right? Like, he wants to just do so much so fast. You got to learn that, hey, this is, we're in practice four, right? And you're not, you know, at an All-American status yet, but you definitely have the ingredients to get there.
Coach, have you ever coached Washington or Oregon? You ever been there for a game?
As a head coach, we played Oregon State.
You did? Okay.
Yep.
But not
as an assistant, I played at Oregon. Played Washington in some bowl games, but I don't think I've –
Great atmosphere, like the rest of the Big Ten, right?
Oh, it's going to be awesome. I know, like, you know, my brief NFL career for 6 days with the Seahawks, got a chance to look out there and see what it was like. But I think anything that brings the venue and the pride of what this conference is, like, it's just a positive thing.
Ready for an exciting change? At Merle Norman, we can take your look from ordinary to extraordinary in a matter of minutes. Our innovative skincare, perfectly matched foundations, and on-trend colors will make a difference that's written all over your face. Come in and see what a makeover can do. We'll help select the products that are just right for you, and we'll teach you tips that the pros know about applying your most flattering shades. Ask for your free express makeover today, calling 217-359-8100, or visit 706 West Market View Drive in Champaign.
The Mahomet Music Festival, presented by Fisher National Bank, has been bringing this free, family-friendly event to Main Street in downtown Mahomet. Friday, August 25th, on the Darwin Boston State Farm stage for bands Zach Tompkins, Candy Foster in Shades of Blue, and Hairbangers Ball. On Saturday, August 26th, Christian band Sanctus Real will perform at 11 a.m. The headliner for this year's Mahomet Music Festival is Chris Jansen, who will